Lovely to see you all. Let's start with our opening prayer. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Dearest
Mother,
Dearest Mother,
Saints and sages of all religions, I bow before all of you. Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Amen. I'd like to read to you from a talk that Mother gave in 1978. I want to talk to you tonight about freedom. How many people within their own consciousness feel totally free? Free to come and go as you please, free to think, say, and do exactly as you please. How many of you really feel that way, or are you bound? And if so, who is your prisoner, and where is your prison house? Ask yourself these questions. How many people live in fear? How many people are always worrying about what the other fellow is going to think, about what they say, think, and do? I think there are very few on earth who are truly free people. I happen to be one of them. I feel like a little child. It is though I lived all of life, every bit of it, in the human sense, and then I reached out for God. I knew that I had to give up all that I had lived, all that I had thought myself to be, if I wanted truth, and if I wanted true freedom. I realized that I had a decision to make, that I couldn't have my cake and eat it too. I either had to give up the things of the senses, all of them, and reach out for the spirit, or I had to just settle for things of the senses. I couldn't straddle the fence and hope to come out with a victory either way. To me, there wasn't any choice, because I had come to a crossroads in my life where I knew that the decision had to be made. And it was a tough one. It was a tough one in one way. And yet in another way, it was very easy because I was so tired of the things of the world, of the things that interested me and absorbed my attention, that it seemed like it would be heaven to let go of all the worldly things and desires, all of the world activities, and reach out for God alone. That entailed my giving up everything that I had hugged to my bosom in the worldly sense. I entailed giving up my possessiveness, my love in the human sense for my family, for my possessions, for all that I thought I had accomplished. It entailed all of these things. It was not an easy thing to do because we are creatures of habit and we are used to hanging on to our possessions. We are used to trying to cater to our desires. But I made that decision, and thank God that I did. The path was not easy. It took a lot of sacrifice, and it ended in a tremendous amount of pain. But that pain became bliss when I had overcome the human within myself and had finally come face to face with the divine. Every man, at some time or other, in some incarnation or other, has to come to that same crossroads. He has to face himself and make that same decision if he is going to be the utmost of that which he is born to be in God. And that is a child of God, to attain his Christhood, to be an heir with Christ, the universal Christ, who is equally present in every atom and every form that lives and moves and has its being, and even in those which seem to be inanimate. And I say, seems to be, because this whole world is one of change. When God inspires you to reach out for him, you, in the beginning, as we have talked about many times, perhaps start on the orthodox path, and perhaps for incarnations you are led along one denomination or another, religious belief to another, until finally you come to the point where your consciousness is expanded, and you want to know the real answers to some questions, not the fairy tales, not the parables, but the truth. And then we start to read the Bible and see what it truly says, that God and the kingdom of heaven are to be found within, and that you are not going to find them by outward means, by concentrating on anything outside of yourself, by reading a book. These things perhaps will inspire you. You will listen to a talk given by a spiritual teacher, and you may be inspired for the moment to seek God and to find a means by which you might contact him. But it is an amazing thing how time after time the spiritual teacher stands up and gives of everything of God within himself or herself in an effort to inspire the people who sit before them to perhaps so invoke the Spirit of God that the fire will be set, the fire in the heart, and you will want with everything you have to get what they say you may get if you will make the effort. But you leave wherever you are listening to a lecture, and even before you leave, you hear conversation all over the place, and not the truth is being spoken that has just been talked about, but rather social things. People are not quiet. They are not absorbing what has been given to them in silence, but rather there is a feast of conversation. They are not absorbing what has been given to them in silence, but rather there is a feast of conversation. How long do you keep with the words of truth that you are given to you? These words that cost such a tremendous price in order that they might be put forth. How often do you really take it with you? And how long does it last? Do you immediately go home and sit down and face yourself and decide what you're going to do? What you're going to make out of your life? Do you determine to meditate every night and every morning? The first thing in the morning to open your eyes and greet the dawn and say, "Good morning, God. Here I am. Take me. Do with me as you will." Is he the one you think about the last thing at night before you go to sleep, as he lifts you up in the arms of Morpheus, shall we say, into the state of unconsciousness and gives your body rest? Is he in your thoughts during the daytime? Do you realize that it is his intelligence, his power, his will, his strength that is permitting you to do every God-blessed thing that you do? And without him, you can do nothing. Think on these things, and think about it very, very seriously, because without God, none of us are anything at all. He is our life, our very being. Without him, we cannot possibly exist. We cannot lift a finger. We cannot use our will. We cannot think a thought. We cannot reach out. We cannot love. We cannot do anything but for the grace of God, because it is he alone who is in every form that does all things through us and for us. And when you make the necessary effort to lift yourself up, and you come face to face with the glory of your own soul, the light of your own soul, and you are filled with the infinite bliss of his glorious presence, then you know that no matter what price you have had to pay, that it is very, very small by comparison with what you have attained, and you wouldn't sell it for anything in the world. You wouldn't give it up. Mother, of course, speaks so powerfully to us down through time. Her words are eternally true. They were true when she spoke them. They are true today. And it is a challenge to each one of us. Are we really serious about going all the way to God realization? And if we are, then we must be able to really go to work on ourselves, make that inner determination. And I have seen it many, many times, that people are uplifted, that there is a wonderful feeling in the room, and then suddenly discussion breaks out afterwards, and then it slowly builds and gets louder and louder, and then there's laughter, and suddenly the vibration changes. It's not that high vibration coming straight from God anymore, but rather it is a mixture. We really don't and are not used to maintaining that energy. It is a tremendous power that comes into us, an uplifting power, a transforming power. And if we would really tune into it and allow it to transform us, it will do everything. Our part is to keep our minds upon God, surrender to His will, do all those things that we know to keep our lives as pure as we can do it. The trick is, of course, is that we live in this world. There are obligations, there are tasks, there are things that we must do. And as Mother said, habit takes over. And suddenly we just slip into the old patterns once again. We must, with real determination, keep our minds on God in the way that works best for us. Chanting God's name is a wonderful thing to be able to do, and to put your mind on that. There's a story told by Papa that there's the fellow who wanted to have all of these material things, and he decided a very strange thing one time. He decided to sell himself to the devil if that bought him everything that he wanted to satisfy all of his desires. And so he went to a spiritualist, and the spiritualist gave him the means to be able to conjure the devil. And so for 40 days and 40 nights, he stayed focused on a certain mantra. And at the end of that time, the devil appeared before him. And he said, "Yes, my son." And they said, "Yes, what do you want?" "I want so many things, and only you can give it to me." "Yes, yes, I can give you all of those things. But in return, when you have run out of desires, then your soul is mine." And the man thought, "Well, I'll never run out of desires. I have so many, that's not a problem. I'll keep him busy 24/7. So he requested a palace, and suddenly, in a very short time, a palace was constructed. And then he wanted lands, and he wanted servants, and he wanted so many things, and thing after thing the devil manifested for him. And then one morning he woke up, and he couldn't think of a God-blessed thing that he wanted. And he started to panic, because he knew that this was a serious, serious thing that he had done. And so he sought out a true spiritual teacher, and he found one, and he explained all that had happened. And the master said, "Well, my son, what you've done is a very, very serious thing." He said, "I will give you a solution, but once you've enacted that solution, I want you to come here and learn the spiritual principles for leading a real life in God." And the man was so panic-stricken at losing his soul that he was willing to give up anything at that point. And so the man, the spiritual master, gave him the solution. And when he went back to his home, the devil was waiting, and he really thought he had him, because he knew the man had no more desires. And so the man said to the devil, "I want you to get a pole and stick it in the ground." "Well, just like that." The devil had a pole. He stuck it in the ground. He says, now I want you to run up and down that pole until I tell you to stop. And so the devil started running up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And when the man had done that, he left and he went to the spiritual master. And eventually the devil got tired of running up and down the pole and he ran away. And he never bothered the man again. Papa would say, Ram Nam is the pole and your mind is the devil. And it's always wanting you to create. It's always wanting to answer whatever you want. But it takes time. And it binds you. It binds you to this world. It binds you to ignorance. It makes you a slave to your desires. Now, we oftentimes think that our desires will lead to freedom. But when has this been so? We accomplish one thing, and very soon, we're bored with that. And we want something else. And on and on and on it goes. It's a never-ending cycle. And so the devil has us ensnared, and we've done it to ourselves, because it's not an outside power that has done it. It's we ourselves. It's our own desire nature. So you put the devil on the pole. You tell him, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Now you can use this mantra. Walt Whitman, who was a realized being here in the Western world, he used his own name. And he repeated that, his name. And that led him to a state of realization. Because it took him deeper and deeper, became a singular focus in his mind. It's what gives you faith. In the Pilgrim, it was, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on my soul. And the Pilgrim repeated that. He was Russian, and he wandered all over Russia repeating this. And he was raised up into a very high state of realization. So it's learning to focus our mind. Keep the mind on God. What represents God strongest for you? And that you want to generate love for God. When I first met Mother, she talked about loving God. But I really didn't know what love was. I didn't know that I felt any love for anyone. It wasn't that I didn't care about people or things, but it just didn't feel like I knew what love was. And so it was one time when Mother was sitting with me in a large group in a restaurant. It was very noisy. And Mother had this capacity. I had seen her do it to other people. And it was as if she would envelop them in this field of energy. And she could carry on a one-to-one discussion with that person. And I was sitting next to Mother at times when she did this to others. And I'd even try to eavesdrop. I'd lean in and I'd try to hear what she was saying, and I couldn't do it. And yet, it should have been easy for me to do. And that night was my turn. And she turned to me, and I felt this enveloping power around the two of us. We were in a busy restaurant that was noisy. All of these devotees that were around a large table. It was a deep dish pizza. It was a new thing. And so we were out to try it. And she turned to me, and it was as if we are the only two people in the entire world. And she said, why don't you love me completely? And I knew immediately that I had, due to an earlier experience, closed my heart off. And she said, if you don't love completely, you cannot have God realization. Well, I can tell you it was like a bomb that went off in the center of me. And it disturbed me. It moved me. And I knew what my work was to do. But what if I loved completely and then somehow got betrayed in that love by God, by Guru, by some other force? Could I stand it? Would I want that again? and no, I didn't want it again. But I finally determined if I couldn't have God realization without loving God completely, then I didn't want this life. I had to love completely, whatever the cost, whatever the potential for pain and hurt and suffering. And it took me about 2 weeks. It was a tough struggle. I went back and forth, back and forth. And I finally made that determination. And I decided that I wanted to know what love was. And it started me onto a journey. And I read the Gospel of Ramakrishna. I read The Perfect Joy of St. Francis by Felix Timmermans. And I started to get that experience. I started to get that opening. Now, we face all kinds of tests. In the beginning, when I first met Mother, I was really concerned about not wanting to be on a fool's errand. I didn't want to just believe something because somebody else said it. I felt the power in Mother. I felt the uplifting power in her. The love that she gave. Everything. But still, what did I know about the various states that she was talking about? So much of it was new to me. And I thought, what if I get to the end of my life? And it's all not true. Maybe I just die and I just turn into dust. Maybe the Christians are right and you have to go just on one religion and all the others are losers. And I thought about that. And I thought about how I felt about things, how I saw things. Was I following the highest light that I knew? And yes, I was. I was being honest. I was being sincere. And I felt that Mother offered the greatest truth, the greatest example of anyone that I'd ever read or heard about. And I thought, if I get to the end of my life, and it's not true in one way or another, I will not regret 1 minute. Not one. Because I have followed my highest light. And that somehow internally freed me in those early days. Freed me to follow. Freed me to break loose of the doubts that I had. We all have a doubting Thomas inside of us. And now Thomas was the disciple when Jesus had been crucified and then resurrected. And he didn't believe his eyes when he saw the resurrected Christ. He couldn't believe that this was the same man because he had saw him die. How could he be resurrected? And Jesus offered his own body and he said, "See this wound in my side. Touch it. Feel it. It will be true to your 5 senses. And Thomas did, and it was then that he really believed. Now, it's an interesting thing, the many spiritual experiences God has taken me through. Because so many of them have been so powerful, have had physical elements as well as astral and causal and pure spiritual. And I thought, isn't it wonderful that the things that God has taken me through are not just purely philosophical. They're not just ideas. They are powerful forces that have worked through this body. And it's convinced me on the Thomas level, on that material plane, the truth of what Mother taught, the truth that God has given to me. And gradually you are transformed. You are convinced down to the very cellular level. This is the truth. You feel it. You experience it. You know it on every level. And really, we have to go through these powerful spiritual experiences until we get that complete transformation. If there's any part of us that's left aside, if there's any part that is in darkness, that is in ignorance of any kind, our work is not yet done. Now, sometimes when we're in the middle of our spiritual path and our spiritual experiences, we think, will this never end? Will I never get there? And it seems so long and it seems so dark at times. And yet, when we look at the big picture how many lifetimes we have wandered in ignorance and separation from God, and that if in one lifetime we can change that direction, we can go from ignorance to a state of enlightenment, then whatever the cost is, whatever it takes, however long it takes, then it seems as if nothing in contrast to what we receive, because you get everything in return. You see, in order to get God, you have to give everything of yourself. But then what you get is everything of God. Now, if you were to put those two things in an equation, everything you are, and contrast that with everything that God is, I don't think many of us would think we get the short end of the deal. That's a very good deal. Because God is infinite. God is eternal. God is all purity, all light, all wisdom, all love, all bliss. And all of that becomes ours when He gives when we give Him everything of ourselves. So we get that determination. And one time I was thinking, this is talking about the various obstacles that come up for us. And I was thinking, will this ever end? Will I ever get there? And it seemed like I was not making the progress that I thought I should be. And this is a good thing, actually, because it's, as long as it spurs us into action, then it is good to think that. I want more. It is said that we should not be greedy, but if we're greedy for anything, we should be greedy for God. And so I was thinking, I'm not getting there. How long will this take? And finally I came to a determination in myself. And I thought, if it takes me from now until eternity, I will never give up. I will not turn away, because this is the only thing that I want. I know that this is the truth of my being. I know this is where eternal happiness will come from, and nowhere else. And so no matter how long it takes, I will never turn away. I will never give up. And I felt that deep in my soul, deep down in my bones, that I had made that kind of a determination. Now, these are the kinds of things that come up to us. Can we love completely and totally? Do we have the tenacity of purpose to put God first and no matter how long it takes in order to get to our goal? These are the things that we have to rise up to. And here's the thing that God told me that I think is so wonderful. And that is that when you come up against obstacles, you feel small sometimes. You feel weak in contrast to whatever it is that you're facing, whether it's a fear or a desire nature, whatever it is. And when you do that, and then you turn it over to God, you don't just stay with yourself and say, I'm so small, I can't seem to make any headway with this. Then we stay isolated. But the moment we break that isolation and we turn to God, and we say, God, you must give me the power to do this. You've created this entire universe with your intelligence, with your power, with your knowledge. You've done all of that. You must make it possible for me to overcome whatever it is that we're struggling with. And when we break our isolation and we turn to God and we turn it all over to Him, we surrender ourselves completely at His feet, then we grow spiritually, because then we feel His intelligence and His power and His grace activating us, motivating us, moving in us. Gradually, we turn everything over to Him. You know, the ego nature is really intended to be just a witness to God's power, God's life, God's intelligence. But the ego has grown, it's inflated out of this witness, this sense of I. And suddenly I stands separate from God. And this is the source of the whole problem. That's why we need to surrender ourselves to God. It's because that I stands separate from God. I have done this, I have done that. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's something good or something bad. The principle is the same. It's the I, the ego, that comes between us and God. It stands as a wall and it casts a shadow on us. So when we surrender ourselves, and then we feel the power and the intelligence and the love and the life of God dwelling inside of us, we merge our little self into the great self. The ego disappears in that. And now we know the truth of our being, that it always has been rooted in God. It will always be. And it is now. And this is a tremendous thing, as this knowledge, as this wisdom, as this experience penetrates into the very cell of your being. And as you get it through and through and through, you overcome every obstacle, every difficulty, every separation. Then gradually you go through this transformation. Now, if we had the tremendous power of concentration, then in one moment, we could do it all. But most of us live in a world that is apart from each other. We have all of these different parts to ourselves. We don't have that command of attention where we can surrender ourselves completely and totally in one fell swoop. If we had that power, we could do it. And we could have God realization right now. But many of us feel that we don't have that power. We don't have that full attention. And so we surrender what we have awareness of and conscious control of in the moment. And then that begins to gradually build. And over time, we're able to surrender more and more and more of ourselves. And as I say, there's nothing that says it has to be this way. It's just, for many of us, generally it is. Ramana Maharshi, an ordinary 16-year-old boy, and suddenly he had this tremendous fear of death come over him. And so he finally reasoned himself, and he said, what is the nature of this death? Let me lay this body down, and I'm going to act as if I'm dead. And what is different? And in that moment, he suddenly realized the eternal I that is in within, the great self, the self that is connected with God. And in that moment, he realized that. And it wasn't just a momentary realization. It stuck with him. Now, he went through various sadhanas after that, perfecting himself in that consciousness. And yet, in that moment, he was able to experience the fullness of who and what he was in truth and reality. So you see, we don't have to build up a lot of artificial kinds of ideas. Oh, I could never accomplish that. I could never be that. This is the ego that's whispering inside of our heads. You just simply get to work. You do the best you can with what you've got. And you invoke God's grace to do what is beyond your power to do. Now, ultimately, the ego cannot kill the ego. The ego cannot go beyond the ego. The ego does its best to surrender and to love God. But ultimately it is God's grace, God's power, God's intelligence that gets activated inside of us through our invitation, through our prayer demand. And it starts to change and transform us. So this is what we have come to do. This is our spiritual journey, our spiritual path. It's why each one of you are here. And so as Mother says, make that determination. Make it deep down in your soul. And then when you go into this world, carry God with you. No matter where you are, what you're doing, don't let yourself be fooled into the idea of separation. Don't get into the habit of just leading your life in an ordinary way. There is the saying that if you always do what you've always done, then you always get what you always got. And it's true. That's where that determination comes from.